Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
It was that same yearning for freedom that nearly 250 years ago gave birth to a special place called America. It was a small cluster of colonies caught between a great ocean and a vast wilderness. It was home to an incredible people with a revolutionary idea that they could rule themselves, that they could chart their own destiny, and that together they could light up the entire world. Brothers and sisters, welcome. Father Frank Pavone here, Director of Priests for Life. Thanks for joining me for some time of prayer and reflection about the greatness of America. I want to go into God's word here right away and then talk a little bit about the 2022 elections, which are upon us. The new year begins in just a few weeks. The election season actually is well underway already. And I want to call you to a greater attention to this now and greater practical action. And I'll give you two pieces of practical action for this program, as we always do. So stick with us for the program in its entirety. And we always give you good things to do so that together what we pray for, we might also work for. But going to the word, let's go to John chapter 5. And I want to read starting with verse 19, John 5, 19. Jesus answered and said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, a son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees his father doing. For what he does, his son also will do. For the father loves his son and shows him everything that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, so that you may be amazed. For just as the father raises the dead and gives life, so also does the son give life to whomever he wishes. Nor does the father judge anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life and will not come to condemnation, but has passed from death to life. Amen, amen, I say to you, the hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he gave to his Son the possession of life in himself. And he gave him power to exercise judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, because the hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come out. Those who have done good deeds to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked deeds to the resurrection of condemnation." Let us pray. Lord, we love America. We come together as citizens and patriots and also as friends from around the world to this great nation that attracts more people than any other place for a reason that is unique. Not an ethnicity, not a geography, but an ideal, a principle, a solid understanding, a vision of freedom rooted, O God, in you who give us our unalienable rights, starting with life. We praise you for America. We affirm the greatness of this country, the unique, exceptional nature of this country. Lord, we thank you for those who have fought for it in so many ways, starting with our founders and going through all those who have served in our military forces, defended our freedom even at the cost of their own lives. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to fight for it still, as we commit to do. We pray, Lord God, set us free from our mistakes, as a country, where we are on the wrong path, as most Americans believe we are right now. Set us back on the right path, but we praise you, God, that that right path is indeed found within our founding principles. We do not have to look elsewhere. We do not have to look to some other country or its constitution. We have indeed in ours, in our constitution and in our declaration, the path that we must follow. Lord, we have heard your word just now that you bring us through your Son to life eternal, which we possess even now, and which will flourish in the future in our very rising from the dead. May that life that you give us grant us the strength, the energy, and the unclouded vision to work for your gospel, for the spread of your kingdom, and for the greatness of America. We pray through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, you know, that's one of the convictions that inspires us on this program, isn't it? That the greatness of America, acknowledging it as this man has done, President Trump, working for it as he has inspired us to do, is completely compatible with spreading the gospel in the kingdom of God. They're not identical. America is not identical to the kingdom of God. The founding doctrines of this country, while inspired by the gospel, are not identical to the gospel, but they're compatible, strongly compatible, more than compatible. They're very intimately connected. The commitment to be a patriot and the commitment to be a Christian are completely, integrally connected. The commitment to work for the greatness of America is completely compatible with the commitment to work for God's kingdom. And, you know, our enemies try to put a dividing wall between those things. There is no dividing wall there. You know it. I know it. Our convictions are all in the one mind and heart that God has given us. And they go together perfectly. So, you know, this passage is very powerful. You know, there's a similar teaching in the very next chapter of John's Gospel, in chapter 6, the Bread of Life Discourse, where Jesus again says, "The living Father sent me. I have life because of the Father. So the one who eats me, feeds on me, the bread of life, will have life because of me." So this passing on of life. In this passage in John 5, he says the same thing. He says life is being passed on. And he says, "You believe in me, you believe in the one who sent me, you have eternal life even now." And in John chapter 6, in the next chapter, he also says, "You have eternal life now, if you believe in me today." And then he talks about the future element. So he talks about the eternal life we have now, and then the future flourishing of that life. Well, in John chapter 6, the Bread of Life chapter, he says, "I will raise you up on the last day." And here, he also talks about raising us up on the last day. So, right now, he says, those of you who hear my words and believe have passed from death to life. The darkness of unbelief, the darkness of sin, that's death. We renounce sin, we say, "I believe," we pass over into life in Christ Jesus, that eternal life we have now. So we were dead in our sins, but now have been raised to life in Christ. But then he says the day is coming when those in the tombs will arise and come forth. So the grave is not our final resting place. It's our temporary resting place. We will rise. Our bodies will rise. Some to the resurrection of life, others to the resurrection of condemnation, depending on what we did in the body. Well, what we do in the body, does that mean everything? Of course it does, including our political choices, including our work for patriotism, inspired by patriotism. This is why I say this is completely compatible. It's the work we do in this life, the deeds we do, that are actually determining our fate in the next world. Part of that, not all of it, part of it is our political commitment. So we look forward to the elections, the midterm elections, which, as I say, our mindset has to be that they are underway right now. Before I get into the details I want to share with you and the two practical action items I want to give you, let me just say yet one more word about the Supreme Court, because today the justices met together to discuss the case, the Dobbs case that we've been talking about for a long time and in great detail here on our program, and that you saw the broadcast on Wednesday of us being in front of the Supreme Court. Today's the day. The justices got together, discussed that case, and raised their hands in which way that they would vote. We don't know what the outcome of that was. We will know when they decide to release it to the public with their written opinions. And we really don't know when that's going to be. Most experts will say we're going to have to wait till the end of June, but gee, that's like 7 months away. Are they going to really wait that long? We'll see. We'll see. But I counsel that we be ready for anything, and that we be ready for a decision to come even before that, because, again, they've made no commitment as to how long they're going to wait. We shall see. All right. So good news, again, for the Republican Party. I don't know if you use the Cook Political Report. You can get an individual subscription to it, and we're not in any way connected financially with them. But you can get an individual subscription to it. It's very, very good information analyzing the political trends in our country. Cook, just like, you know, cooking food, COOK, CookPolitical.com. It's a website where you can go and read some great articles. And a lot of the in-depth analysis is, as I say, available only by subscription. But one of the articles on there today was how 8 governors' races for the 2022 elections have now shifted in their rating in favor of the Republicans. So let me explain this system. You may be very familiar with this already, that a political website like Cook Political uses to gauge the political mood of the country. A race might be considered either solid Republican or solid Democrat. In other words, in the direction that it is going, if the election were held today. In other words, solid Republican, solid Democrat, there's hardly any doubt about it. Then they have 3 other categories. Likely Republican or likely Democrat. What that means is that the seat or the race in that particular state or district, or depending what race you're talking about, is not considered to be competitive at this point in time, but has the capacity to become so. In other words, it's not solid, but it's likely. Not yet competitive, but could be. That's the likely category. So you may have a race that is labeled as likely Republican or likely Democrat. Then there's another category, a little bit weaker, that's lean Republican or lean Democrat. These are considered competitive races. It's anyone's race, but one or another party has the advantage. So it's competitive, but with an advantage one way or the other. All right. The other category, likely, it's not really competitive, but it could become. Things can change in politics. Things can change in 5 minutes. Somebody catches you saying or doing something puts the video up on YouTube. Boy, that political race could change in 5 minutes. So, and this is true even for the solid ones, right? It's true for anybody. So the lean means it's competitive, but one or another party has the advantage. And then right in the middle, what have you got? You've got the toss-ups. It could go, it's anybody's race. Nobody seems to have the advantage. It may be split right down the middle. It is a good chance for either party to win. Okay, so those are the categories that a website like Cook Political, these political expert analysts, they'll have a rating for all the different races, the House races, the Senate races, the presidential race when it's a presidential year. And something else that happens in these midterm elections is gubernatorial races. Very important, the governors of our nation, the governors in all the 50 states, so important. those races, those positions. Well, the good news now is that in the Cook political analysis, eight of these races now have shifted in their ratings in favor of the Republicans. Let me read which ones they are. Then I want to give you a little bit of a broader landscape of the gubernatorial races, and then I want to give you two practical things to do. Michigan gubernatorial race was categorized recently, up until recently, as lean Democrat, and now it has been put in the toss-up category. Good news for Michigan. Michigan, I've spoken so much in Michigan, you know, the word was going around some years ago that I was running for governor of Michigan myself. Michigan is a great, strong pro-life community there. Right to Life of Michigan does a tremendous work, and I've been spoken, that's how I've spoken in just about every part of the state at their various banquets. Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin, again, up until recently was categorized in its governor's race as lean Democrat, and now has been moved into the category of toss-up. Nevada, the same thing. It's moved from lean Democrat to toss-up. So Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, any of you that are living there or know people in those states, start talking now about the governor's race and about the candidates. Maine, the state of Maine, was likely Democrat. Now it's moved to lean Democrat. Again, in other words, likely means it's not competitive, but it could become. Lean means it has become competitive, but the Democrats still have an advantage, but it's competitive. Okay. New Mexico was solid Democrat, and now it has moved to likely Democrat. In other words, there's movement there. There's some change. It could even become competitive. Oregon has moved from solid Democrat to likely Democrat. Iowa has moved from likely Republican to solid Republican. Same thing has happened in South Carolina, likely Republican to solid Republican. So in the governor's races, these are governor's races we're talking about for 2022. Again, if you live in or you know people in these states, thank you for helping to make the difference. No doubt many of you who are watching now from these states have been part of the reason for this. Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, Maine, New Mexico, Oregon, Iowa, South Carolina. There's been movement in all of them, enough for the experts at Cook Political to change the official rating of the race. That's good news. Let's look at the wider picture. There will be 36 governor's races. There's only 50 states, 36 governor's races will be on the ballot here for 2022. And you know what's going on as well as I do. The fights over the pandemic, over restrictions and mandates, school closures, ideology, critical race theory, all this stuff. Governors, and abortion too. Governors have a big say. I mean, they are the chief executive of their state. They're the ones who sign or veto legislation. They have a big, big say in all these things. We recently had, of course, the Republican victory in Virginia. In the gubernatorial race. Once Glenn Youngkin is sworn in next month, the governorships around the country will be controlled by Republicans in 28 places. That's more than half the states. Whereas with the Democrats, it's only 22 who control the governor's office. Now, Republicans are defending 20 seats, Democrats 16. Republicans have 16 incumbents who will likely be on the ballot. Democrats have 13. Here's the practical things I want to ask you to start doing, brothers and sisters, and this will help you prepare not only to have an influence in the gubernatorial races, but in the elections of 2022 more generally. Two simple action points. Number one, your state's election website. Now, we at Priests for Life have the website prolifevote.com. I've told you about that. And now that's going to be getting updated daily. with all sorts of new things and getting you ready for the midterm elections. One of the things we'll be putting up there is information about in each state, what's the date of the primaries. Man, the primaries are going to be coming up very quickly here now in a couple of months. They're going to be starting different dates in each state. Primaries, what about the voter registration deadlines? What about early voting? Is early voting happening in your state? If so, when and how can you do it? The point is the information is different in each state. One of the places where you can go to get up to the minute information about all these things is your state's election website. Have you been there? This is what I want to urge you to do as a practical follow-up to this program. Go to your state's election website and get familiar with it. Now, you'll have to spend some time. Some of them are better than others, frankly. I've been to a lot of them myself, and some of them are easier to navigate than others. Well, but what that means is spend more time working it out. Spend more time getting familiar with it. Because when you go to your state's election website, not only do you find the answer to questions that you may already be looking for, such as what are the rules in my state for voter registration and so forth, but also you will find things that you haven't been thinking of that'll either give you helpful information that you could talk to your fellow citizens and friends and family, or opportunities for you to help. And go to your state's election website. Okay. And then number two, visit your local Board of Elections office. You might say, well, Father Frank, why do I have to go there? What am I going to do there? Go get familiar with it. When you go there, you will see how they have it set up. You'll be able to talk to whoever is staffing the office about opportunities to help. You can pick up voter registration forms to give to people you know that may not be registered. There's all kinds of advantages, because when you go there, there's a lot of information. You're just going for an information gathering visit. First of all, do you know where your local Board of Elections office is? You may have never been there, but go there. There's always helpful information, because they're there in order to help the citizens take part in the electoral process. And when you go there, no doubt you'll find some helpful information. You may find some helpful flyers about the upcoming elections, information about what's going on in your district. Very, 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 very helpful. Go to your local Board of Elections office and just go there to learn. I guarantee you this will be beneficial. Going to the local Board of Elections office for a visit, going to your state's election website, your state election website, peruse it, surf it, visit the different pages on it, read it, take a couple of hours of time, dedicate some hours of time to really poring through all the information on that state election website and information available at your local Board of Elections. We'll be talking a lot more about this in the weeks to come. I just want to get the engines going here, so to speak, friends, as we all do everything we can to equip and educate ourselves and those within our reach about these things. Would you pray with me now for America, for the midterm elections, and for the growth of the kingdom of God? Let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We pray for your personal intentions too, friends. Never forget that. All of us at Priests for Life are committed to doing that. Executive Director Janet Morana, our Associate Director Father Dennis Wild, our Associate Alvita King, Evangelist Alvita King, Brian Kemper, our Youth Outreach Coordinator, and Teresa and Kevin Burke of Rachel's Vineyard, all our team are praying for you. Pray for us too. Connect with us on social media. Fr. Frank Pavone is my address, and Father Frank Pavone on Facebook, and connect with Right Side Broadcasting at RSB Network. Thank you, friends. Continue, please, to spread the word about this program. is we've got a lot of work to do to win these midterms for America, and we will. God bless you all. Father Frank Pavone here. Talk to you soon.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.